This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Such a great tournament on the weekend, Barry, the South Island team. How's your fingernails, Barry?
Well, we didn't have such a bad day on the first day. A couple of very narrow losses by one or two imps, and then a big loss, and then a win. We were 53rd or something out of 58 after the first day. If you keep on winning, you keep on going up, Mariana.
I need that.
Anyway, so what a great event, though, having 58 teams. You know, it really makes it a national event when there's that many entries.
Yeah.
So well done to the Genk team. That was Anne Somerville and Murat Genk, Jeff Miller and Graham Stout. They led most of the time, and they were about 13 VPs ahead going into the last match. So they won every match. They had a loss in the last match, but they had enough of a buffer to hang on by four VPs. Well done to them. Good to see a South Island team taking out the South Island teams.
Yeah, I guess. Second place was the Pan team.
Yeah.
Very good
well
effort.
Well done by Tim and Lysandra, who were top of the datum for an intermediate pair. What an amazing performance.
Pretty good. And their other teammates were Janice Hu and Jackie Lowe.
They've been playing for a long time. That would be their best effort. I'm sure they'd be thrilled with that. Another South Island team in third.
The Alabaster team.
So look, 58 teams was a real buzz playing. Of course, you can't play all 58 teams. Well, we'd be there for a while.
True. Barry and I were talking off air that New Zealand Bridge did make an announcement today about the 2024 major events. They are all 20A point events. They've confirmed whether they're online or face-to-face.
The next one will be in Wellington. That'll be face-to-face. The North Island teams in March. The South Island Pairs at Nelson, they're having that online. Hamilton will be holding the North Island Pairs for the Waikato Bays region online in July. And then the National Swiss Pairs, New Plymouth, are holding, and they're having that online as well. Plenty of opportunities for those. Then two face-to-face ones. Otago are running the national teams. That's going to be face-to-face, August, September. And then Auckland are holding the last one for the year, the National Pairs, which will be face-to-face in Auckland on the 9th and 10th of November.
Grant will share with you later on in his segment about the Auckland North Island year-to-date, about how they had a packed house for that National Pairs event. It was very good to see Auckland Bridge Club, and it's got a fair space to pack it out, Barry.
For those that don't know who Mariana's talking about, she's talking about Grant Jarvis, who we interviewed from Auckland. He was the chairman of the Auckland region until just recently.
And you'll hear from him later on in the show. What else is happening, Barry?
I was looking at something, Mariana, which you may find of interest. I was looking at the X Club results right throughout the country. There are hundreds and hundreds of players there, and got some interesting stats for you. It says on there how many sessions each player has played in a year.
And, in a year?
It says you how many you've played in the last 12 months, how many sessions you've played.
Yeah.
And it only shows the players that have had 15 sessions or more. And of the players that played 15 sessions exactly for the year, 57% of them had scored over 50%. Pretty good, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But all right, there's more. There's a lot of people, and I was a bit surprised by this, that have played more than 100 sessions of bridge in the last 12 months, Mariana.
100?
So that's nearly two a week. In fact, there are 117 bridge players in New Zealand that have played 100 or more sessions per week. Now, bearing in mind that I said 57% of those with 15 sessions had averaged over 50, how many percent of the people that played over 100 do you think averaged over 50?
I'd have to say over 50% of them as well.
Without a word of a lie, Mariana, I think I've found the secret to winning bridge. 90% of those people, 90%, over 9 out of 10 of them had averaged over 50. What you need to do, Mariana, is play 100 sessions of bridge in a year. That's how you get to be good. When you think that there's sort of a bit of a break over Christmas and all that sort of stuff, and a few missing out here and there, it really is probably two most weeks.
I've been talking with some people at our club, and I do know a couple of people that actually play at least three, sometimes four sessions a week. They play a couple at Hamilton, maybe one or two at Waikato. They might even slip in a Cambridge one. Hamilton's got two-day sessions. And if they sneak a night session in and then they whip over to Waikato and then out to Cambridge, they're racking them up.
Well, I can tell you that not many people play four. I'm going to name this lady because I think it's quite an achievement and I don't think she'll mind. She's from North Shore in Orewa by the look of it. Her name's Betty Hopley. She's played more sessions than anybody else in the country. 195, Mariana.
Oh, right. I know, Betty.
195 sessions of bridge in the last 12 months. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And, of course, somebody from Waikato Bays is second. That's Hermana Hemmies. We know from Matamata Tiara.
Yeah, yeah.
Played 183 sessions.
She spreads her time between how many clubs? Two, maybe three clubs? Cambridge, Matamata and Tiaraha?
Third on the list is Colin Bray, who has emailed us occasionally. He's played 180 sessions.
Wow.
So well done to those three. It drops down to 177 after that. There's not actually that many that have played more than 150, maybe about less than a dozen. 117 people have played 100 sessions or more. And of those, 106 of them got over 50.
Nice.
There's your answer, Mariana. Nice. That's how to improve your bridge. Play 100 sessions of bridge in a year, and 9 times out of 10, you'll be doing all right.
Can you note any names that are actually full-time working, potentially people that are not maybe retired? Don't strike me down with lightning, but have a little gawk and just let me know.
I don't know that I can. They don't put their ages, occupations or retirements. So
hilarious.
There's a few Hamilton players on here.
No way. Hang on then. Let me guess. Right. Hamilton. Who would be playing a lot? Maybe Barb Daly?
Yeah, you're right on the money.
Really?
Barb Daly. She played 123 sessions in the last 12 months. Good on you, Barb. She directs, of course, so she plays and directs sometimes. That's an extra session or two she gets in. And she's well over 50, by the way, with her XG rating. She's got a pretty good XG rating, Barb. She's on 58.74.
Good. Nice. She loves her bridge, that girl.
Tell you what, she's only one session ahead of another Hamilton Club member who's got 122 sessions.
So that could be what, Lucy Armstrong, I guess?
No, it's not Lucy Armstrong.
Oh, okay.
You'll check yourself when you find out who it is and you haven't named them.
Hang on, let me guess. So who else plays that much? Oh, no, I can't think.
Nigel Grissom.
No, Nigella! No way.
Ross Stewart's up there. He's another one who's over 100 on 108. He plays at Tiaraha as well, of course, so that helps him.
And Morrinsville. Nigella, eh? Sneaky dude. So the flavour that the Bridge Zone is taking over the next couple of months, we've mentioned we're going to go around the nation and talk to the regions. And we have with us Grant Jarvis, who's outgoing, but still got your hands and your fingers and your toes with Auckland Northern Region, haven't you, Grant?
Hello, Mirana. Yes, I am the outgoing. Our new chairperson is Jane Stearns from Northland.
Yep.
You will know Jane well from all the expertise and passion that she showed in the Waikato.
Yes.
And she's now brought that to Auckland Northland, so we're very, very fortunate to have her. I hope that you can have a talk to her to discuss the future as I leave. I'm happy to comment on the past and the last 3 years. We were hit hard in COVID, but we're delighted to say that in the last year, our membership increased by 4%, which is about 130 people. I think only your own region, Waikato Bays, also had an increase. We were delighted with that. We could see it happening because we have some superbly passionate teachers at club level, and all of our lesson numbers around the region have shown significant growth. A couple of clubs have been outstanding. Paihia, 51% increase.
Wow.
Waitemata, 28%. And little clubs like Dargaville, the number mightn't sound big, but in terms of portion to their club and their region, they've done superbly as well. It's positive. And this year we've had just about every tournament has shown a significant increase in face-to-face entries. We've had four full houses in events this year, which is just superb. That started off with the National Swiss, which was in November, which we held face-to-face, which was a bit of a gamble at the time. But club players came from all over the country and supported us, and it's kick-started a real revival.
What were the other full houses? Can you call?
Kerikeri was just about full. Walkworth, Waitemata doubled their table numbers. Franklin yesterday had a full house. We couldn't get any more tables in. It was just such a friendly, warm environment. Just people happy to be back enjoying each other's company. So I played that with a dear friend in Jan Cormack, and I met lots of Franklin players I hadn't even met before. Mariana was there, and it was food for Africa.
It was lovely. They always put on a great spread.
Yeah, it's a club I'm really proud of to be connected with. We've got two new clubs, Mangawhai and Northland, and we've got a second Waiheke club, 2020 Waiheke, which have joined our ranks. Mangawhai have already won the battle of the northern clubs in a little teams playoff. They've laid down the challenge, and I don't think they'll be taken lightly anymore. Full credit to them.
How big would those two clubs be, Grant? Mangawhai and Waiheke in membership size?
Puts me on the spot. They're both smallish. Yeah. Waiheke's said that they want to join our interclub teams. We have about over 50 interclub teams that play online each month. And Mangawhai are joining that. And as I say, they're already participating in local derbies up in the north. There's a potential for a couple of other clubs to join in as well. So we're hopeful that they will. I won't name them, but they might be in the pipeline.
The Waiheke Island Club, is that another one? Or
there is a 2020 Waiheke Bridge Club, and there's the original club, which is the Waiheke Bridge Club. Such famous personalities as Bob Grover and co. I believe 2020 Waiheke share a club session each week with an English club. I know that was what I was originally told, so that's quite fascinating. They play the same system, apparently, so that's an interesting connection.
Two clubs on Waiheke, that sounds like a good place to retire to, Mariana.
I've never been there. The one time we made plans to go there, something happened and we couldn't get the ferry, I don't know, some storm or something, so we haven't really gone back.
They had a tournament earlier, only a month or so ago, and they had to arrange for the fullest ferry to guarantee seats for the Aucklanders to come across on the ferry.
Right.
The ferry system's been a bit disrupted of late and some people have been missing out, so rather than put their tournament at risk, they were in the unique situation where they had to book guaranteed seats to get the players there.
Wow.
If you're ever wanting to go play a tournament over there, go for the weekend and enjoy the wine restaurants and the lovely beaches and the camaraderie over there.
And on a personal front, Grant, what does 2024 hold for you in terms of bridge?
I'm recently retired, so I'm still fishing a lot. I'm still involved in secondary school football at a national level, which I have been for just about my whole life. From the age of 22, I've been on that executive committee, particularly schoolgirls football, which has had a massive boost, a shot of adrenaline because of the World Cup last year.
So FIFA, yeah.
We're dealing with lots of really motivated, excited young players. And, of course, we now have the Phoenix. So I've got lots of interest there. And otherwise, I'm still playing bridge more and more on a social level. I do enjoy the bridge and I enjoy the bridge people greatly. I'm delighted that Jane's taken over. Not so much that I can stand down, but knowing that the region is in great hands. She is passionate about growing the game. We are very, very keen for New Zealand Bridge to have a clear and strategic plan that all regions can follow, that's coherent, that is consistent, and that is aligned, because we really want the game to grow. It's a superb game, and it needs the boost. We've still got Tanya Brown as our treasurer. Tanya is Matt Brown's mum and doing a wonderful job in that role. I was a single-person committee, and those two have been absolute lifesavers for me, and we now have brand-new members on the committee. So we've got our quorum for the first time in 4 years.
That's a feat in itself.
Yes, I know some regions are struggling. It's a voluntary job and it's an important job too. I'm still doing the newsletter. We do a newsletter once a month. So I welcome anyone in our region or anywhere in the country that has items of interest to just flick me an email. And I'm still doing a tournament schedule, which is awaiting the naming of the online dates, which hopefully are going to be very soon.
You've got something to say, okay, Barry. I know you're just wanting to jump in. I can see your face.
I have. Picked up on what Grant said about he's been more of a social player. Don't believe a word of it, Mariana. He started the year out by winning the 5A teams in Thames, and I think he then proceeded to win the Waitemata 5A as well. He was only second yesterday, but I'm not having a bar of this. I'm just a social player.
I haven't confirmed it, but I was told that the lovely lady who won the event at Franklin yesterday is a member of the Chinese national women's team. If that's true, that'd be quite unique for a national Chinese player to be playing a tournament at our club level.
Yeah.
She was playing with John Wang. fine achievement to win an event in a one-off partnership. What a thrill to have her there.
True.
Absolutely.
16 VPs or something, so they certainly played well. Mm. And I just, Blair Fisher sitting there with tears in his eyes because Ari announced that being an 8B, you couldn't play any relays. So he was rather distraught.
Oh, is that right?
It was only an 8B.
And it included lots of lovely Franklin juniors. So I think a relay system would have overpowered them.
Actually, I saw a number of people ask Ari about that and show them the system card and he was saying, no, not that, not that.
Yes, our very promising young couple, Lysandra Zing and Tim Pan, they won the junior category last year in the national rankings. We also had Ben Yang. He won his category. We've got some really promising players coming through. Tim and Lysandra, as juniors, were playing relay systems. They had to adjust as well. You're going to see them in the future very much.
Yeah, they're lovely. They're very strong.
I'd like to put a plug in for New Zealand Bridge's new promotion officer, Mel Auld. She's offering all sorts of innovation and incentives to clubs. And I do hope that clubs take advantage of her expertise and her background. She's willing to assist clubs with Facebook promotions. Please, if you're a club secretary and you get an email from someone called Mel Auld, please don't bin it. Please take them seriously because she has a lot to offer. And I think she does a great job.
Brilliant. Will do.
Sounds like somebody we should get on the show, Mariana.
Yes, we were talking about that, weren't we?
Very much so. She would be a lovely person to talk to and just outline what her goals are. Full credit for New Zealand Bridge for having a person in that role and finding someone with her expertise.
Thanks for that, Grant. It's always impressive to talk to people, one like you, very competitive. I agree. Social competitive or socially competitive, what's the correct term? Competitive social? No, yeah. It's none of that. No.
Bridge nerd.
Bridge addict.
Next time you meet him at the table, Mariana, just look across and think, look, he's only here for the afternoon tea.
Well, all the best with your fishing too, because I know you love doing that.
Yes, I enjoy that. And we've got some good fishing women in the ranks of bridge players, including Barry's good partner, Jenny, who's a very accomplished fishing person who got the biggest fish I've seen for a while the last time she went out.
I'm not too impressed with this fishing. They go out fishing, Mariana, and they come back and say, oh, look, we had a hard day out fishing. They get back, they go to the pub for lunch, get somebody to fill in all the fish, sit there eating lunch and drinking wine, and come home and say, gee, it's been a tough day.
That's how it should be. Thank you very much for your time, Grant. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure to see you both.
Director, please.
Judge Judy is in session. It's the bailiff today.
He is Patrick.
Another week done and dusted, and we're back with Patrick.
Hi, Mariana.
So we played in the South Island teams this weekend, Mariana. 58 teams, pretty good turnout, but it's a bit rough. You only get to play 8 teams out of 58. Patrick, is that a fair way of running it, or can the director do something to make it a little more fair?
There's a lot of things about format, and the director can only choose what they think is the best format for what they've got and the time they've got to play it. For instance, if you had a million teams entering the South Island team, it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to be pretty much a matter of luck as to who gets the best score at the end of it. Sure, you would possibly like to play a few more teams than 8, but you've only got a certain amount of time available. So you could choose to play fewer boards per match and play more teams, but that winds up being that each match is therefore not quite as rigid on deciding the winner. For instance, we played 8-14. If instead you played 5-20s, probably the best team would win each 20, and probably the best teams would come together at the end to decide who wins, but you've only played 5 teams. If you played 25 board matches, yeah, sure, you'd meet more teams, but each 5-board match, well, it'd be a bit more random about who won each 5-board match, wouldn't it? So it really comes down to the more boards that you're willing to play, the more likely that the best team will come to the front. And to a certain extent, the fewer the teams, the more likely you'll get the best team winning. Like I said, if you had 4 teams and you played a round robin of 25 board matches or 30 board matches, the best team would almost certainly win. But if you have a million teams, well, you still only play 100 or 110 or 20 boards. It's going to be a matter of luck as to whose finesses work at the crucial moment, who gets the lucky draw at the right point. So all you can do is come up with a good format for as many teams as you've got. The more teams you've got, the more there will be a little bit of a luck involved. On the other hand, we play a game where luck is a factor, and I think that's a good thing. if you want to play Tiger Woods at golf or Novak Djokovic at tennis, well, you know you're going to lose. If you play a better team at bridge, well, you know you've always got a chance. I like a game where Phil usually comes to the front, but you've still got a chance because there's a little bit of luck.
So we're off to the Gold Coast this week, and of course there's hundreds of teams there, so there's no prospect of playing any meaningful number of them.
Yes, but they have got more time. So the Gold Coast, for instance, you have a similar format to the South Island teams, that you have a Swiss-style format, but then the top so many teams are divided up and they play long knockout matches against each other. And if you play a long knockout match against one team, it's most likely that the best team will win that match. If there was more time, if you had more days on the South, you could have had the format that we've had and then say, oh, we've got three more days. There'll be a quarter final where these teams will play a whole day. And then the semi-final where these two teams, the winners play each other and another day when there's a final. But people didn't want to play for 5 days. They only want to play for 2 days. And if you've only got 2 days and you've got to find a winner out of 58 teams, well, the format can only do so much.
Yeah. So even if you're at your local club and you're playing a peers event and they've got 26 peers entered, maybe more than you often get, these things are obviously usually held over... for 5 or 6 nights.
Yeah, you've got me onto a subject where quite a few clubs around the country, at least for a while, were playing a format that was instigated, I think, by Bruce Bell. Someone certainly went round the top of the North Island telling a few clubs about how it was a good idea to run things this way. And I particularly don't like it. They sort of have an event where they play so many nights, and then on the last night, they set all the pairs that are in contention the same way and all the other pairs the other way. And you can see the thinking behind it is that you are getting those good pairs to play with the same cards because they're sitting the same way on that last night. But the thing is that when you're sitting all the weaker pairs in one direction, it becomes a contest as to how much those good pairs can beat up the weak pairs by. It's like a buddy bashing competition. So I don't like it. And more particularly from the point of view of, you could say, well, on the last night, no one gets to sit the way where all the cards are, and whereas their chief competition sitting the other way and is unlucky there was no cards that way. But usually on most of these competitions, every night counts the same. And that could have happened on the first night, or the second night, or the third night. So why is it suddenly the fourth night we want to say, oh, all the good players can sit one way and they can try and hit the bunnies as hard as they can? I've railed against that movement before. I think there's less clubs using it than there used to be. And hopefully after my little rant now, maybe there's even fewer. But we shall see.
You've got the job, Patrick. You're director at the Ikitahuna Championship Fairs. They've got 13 tables over 4 weeks. What would you do to try and make it fair?
Oh, it depends how many tables there are and whether or not they're all going to turn up the same on every night, because you can't organise a format if you're going to have an unknown number turn up on every night. It's a better question if you're asking me how you run the Ikitahuna Open Tournament when you've got a certain number of pairs playing and you know how many sessions you've got. Then you try to organise the field so that you play as many pairs as possible, and the pairs you do play are seeded so that you get an average selection of the field. So you get some of the good pairs to play and some of the not so good pairs to play, so that you get a reasonable draw. You know, if Mr. and Mrs. Smith are competing with Mr. and Mrs. Brown, both of them will have the same draw in terms of how difficult the pairs they play for. They would have played each other, hopefully, at some point, and they would have made a fair selection of the other pairs. This is a tricky thing, but organising a bridge event is not easy.
In a way, an event at the club where you don't know how many people are going to be there is even trickier to organise. You're going to have sort of roughly 10 or 12 tables every week.
So then generally it's a matter of who turns up on every night and giving them a fair go. The longer the format, the more likely the best pair wins. So, for instance, your championship pairs, maybe it should be over 6 nights. Auckland is most championship event is 6 nights, and the best 5 counts. You might be unwell or not be able to play one of the nights, so it gives you a chance to miss one night. So 6 nights are the best 5 count. You'll find if you have only 2 or 3 sessions, that who wins it is more random, whereas your championship events that are longer, usually it's the best pair in the club that wins. It's like knockout matches. We see that in the trials we have coming up in the mix, we've got 8 teams and they've gone for a knockout format. We've gone for 56 board knockout matches in the mix. And usually the best team will win a 56 board match, but not always. If it was a 156 board match, then obviously the best team would almost always win. So it's just a question of how much time you've got available and how many boards you can play. So if you had a format in the mix where they played knockout matches and there were only 16 board knockout matches, well, it'd be pretty much a matter of luck because you can have a bad 16 board match anytime. 56 board matches, the best team, yeah, probably will win. Certainly no certainty. The longer the match, the more likely. They had 64 board knockout matches in the Open and the Women. And you'll notice that, interesting, it was very, very close and could have gone either way. The longer the match, the more likely the best team wins.
Somebody pointed out to me, Patrick, that if they'd have had a 56-board match like they're having in the mixed, there would have been two different winners.
That is indeed true. Those matches were so close. You'll notice in the World Championships, they're usually 96-board knockout matches, I think. I'm sure if there was only 4 teams playing in that knockout, the matches would be longer than 56. We'd have probably played for 3 days and they'd probably have had 80-board or 96-board knockout matches. They've got to decide between 8 teams and they've got 3 teams. So that's the format they've gone with. You choose a format and that's a reasonable format. You'd like to have more boards. It's a reasonable format. You try to do as well as you can. Obviously, it'd be even more difficult for them if there were 16 teams in or 32. You can only do the best you can with the time you have available and the number of teams that are playing.
And anyway, what do you have against Ekitahuna? Ekitahuna is a wonderful
It was Barry that started with Ekitahuna. I'm really sure Ekitahuna
had them. I tell you what they do have down there. They have races for ride-on lawnmowers in Ekitahuna.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. Was it you, Mariana, who said that directors have an easy life? Maybe that's not so true.
Probably one of the many things that I've said.
Well, would you like to take over directing in Auckland while I'm at Gold Coast, Mariana?
No, thanks.
You might change your mind when I come back.
No, because I'll be seeing you there.
Oh, you're playing Gold Coast as well, eh?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, let's hope we draw you in the first round.
Alrighty, thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go on to our other exciting news. Gold Coast starts this.
Gold Coast coming up.
Sunday, flying out Saturday.
Yep.
Follow us on the Gold Coast results, see how we're going, and we'll be talking with you once again, all the way from Australia.
Hey, they might have a job finding us, Mariana, when they're looking through all those hundreds and hundreds and thousands of players. We're just going to be a drop in the ocean.
Probably. We'll catch us and have a good week.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.